We did it right on the dot. The second hand at 8 o'clock. House Education comes together. Today is April 6th. We have one bill in front of us today, HB 352, and it's to limit abortion service providers in the schools. I'm going to have the sponsor explain in a minute, but if you would, call the roll.
Representative Dempsey.
Here.
Representative Colbert.
Good morning.
Representative Dunnan.
Here. Sorry.
Representative Spanholz.
Here.
Representative Talarico.
Here.
Representative Skeeton.
Here.
Chair Keller.
Here. Okay, great. On the bill today, we're going to get an overview. We're not going to pass it today. But I want to say we will have public testimony. However, I have my staff right now printing up all the testimony that's been given on SB 191 and all of some of the it then turned out to be more pages than I thought. It's a lot of pages. But I'm, what I'm doing is asking anybody that wants to testify, I'm not going to prevent anybody from testifying. I'm just asking you not to repeat yourself. And please, I mean, we're what's before the committee. We are well aware of the testimony that's out there in this bill. If you're new, of course, we want you to be able to testify. So with that, also, you'll be getting that paper from my staff when he gets it. And then also, Representative Seaton has passed out a legal memo that implicates different sections of the Constitution. And I want to say that the implication, respectfully, is and I think Representative Seaton would agree, is done by the person that requested the legal memo. Because the first paragraph in the legal memo is that these things would have to be determined depending on the whatever the circumstances around the challenge are. So the thing I read the memo very quickly, and I have not been through it in great detail, but it's some of it is repetition that we got before, or at least I've gotten from our drafter. And as you read that legal memo, I would encourage you to look at the word implicate, because that's the point. It's an implied connection with the bill, with those sections of the Constitution, and it certainly is the prerogative of the committee to decide, make decisions based on those implications, but they are implications. So with that, I'm going to ask the staff, the sponsor of 352 to come forward and tell us about the bill. Okay. If you would introduce yourself and your staff and
thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, committee members, and good morning. My name is Representative Lynn Gaddis, and for the record, I represent District 7, the Greater Wasilla area. And I'm here to present the Bill 352, and here we go. A public school should be a place for students to learn skills, gain knowledge, and receive instruction. However, there are special interest groups that would like to use schools to promote their ideas and beliefs to a captive young audience. And I guess, Mr. Chair, that's where I struggle with this, to a captive young audience. Many parents have become alarmed at what is occurring within the public school system, that they're withdrawing their children from neighborhood schools in record numbers. The values of the family should be protected from outside special interests with an agenda. The purpose of House Bill 352 is to restrict the access of abortion service providers and their affiliates to public schools. To be perfectly clear, this bill does not ban sex education from the classroom. It will not in any way hinder districts, schools, or teachers from instructing students on human sexuality. The legislation before us simply states that abortion service providers or affiliates may not present information or provide their materials to this captive audience of students. As a society, we seem to be putting more and more onto our school districts' plates when it comes to teaching our kids. As a result, parents have not been made aware about these various groups that are coming into the public schools to teach their children. Mr. Chair, This has to change. Parents deserve to know what's going on in the classroom, and they need to know the special interest groups that aren't using school hours to advocate their beliefs and their practices. By prohibiting abortion service providers' access to public schools, our schools can focus on really what's important and leave private, sensitive matters where they belong, in the hands of parents. With that, Mr. Chair, I'm going to go back up to finance, which I have a meeting, and I appreciate you hearing this bill, and thanks, folks, for coming in early this morning. Thank you.
Before you go, I want one question before we put your staff in the frying pan. So, I want to ask you, on the record, there's a similar bill in the Senate. It's SB 191. It's been through a process, and I have followed that process and looked through it. And I want to point out that some of the concerns that have been raised about the implications of the constitutional implications, there's been amendments made to address those in response to some of the things that ACLU lawyer has pointed out, Mr. Decker, and everything. And my intent is to request the sponsor to get a CS that reflects those changes after all the work that has been done in the Senate. So before we act on this bill, you know, I would request a CS that we can get into the more minute details on. So it's going to be kind of a general discussion today. But.
And, Mr. Chair, we've seen those amendments, and we've got no problem with that. So okay. We'll follow through.
Thank you. So introduce your staff or your staffer. Introduce yourself.
Let her introduce herself before we leave.
And then, okay, great.
For the record, my name is Crystal Randolph, staff to Representative Lynn Gaddis, and I...
We won't ask you to come up with an intelligent statement beyond that right now, but we will in a minute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We do have another meeting.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, no, Crystal, if you would stay here in case there's specific questions.
She's not prepared to do that.
Well, oh, okay.
We have another meeting.
Oh, okay. Great. I understand now. Thank you. Representative Drummond?
When are we supposed to be able to ask questions of the sponsor if both she and her staff are leaving?
At ease.
I had another off-the-record question.
Off-the-record? Okay, back at ease.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. I'm rather disturbed that the sponsor not only left after making her presentation, but took her aide with her. And I'm sure that the sponsor has an aide for this bill, as she is on House Finance and has an aide for House Finance probably too. Let me just say that I'm disturbed by that action, Mr. Speaker, and not having the opportunity to question the sponsor. Thank you.
Thank you. And for the record, I mean, as chair, as all of you know, we have a lot of prerogatives, and I could just press on with the bill, and we're choosing to just hear the testimony because those that have come in and called in, you know, have gone out of their way to do that. And so with that, we're going to go to Andy Holloman, Anchorage Education Association. And you're at the Anchorage LIO. Andy, have you testified on 191 or SB 89? Identify yourself first for the record.
I apologize. You caught me unaware at the back of the room.
That's all right. If I remember right, you testified on 191. And like I say, I just would ask you not to repeat yourself, but go ahead.
Okay. And I'm thinking I testified before the Senate, but I may have it confused. But I think it is a very pertinent issue. My name is Andy Holloman. I'm speaking on behalf of the members of the Anchorage Education Association. We're the over 3,000 certificated individuals that staff the Anchorage School District. Because I believe our local school boards are better suited to make choices for their communities, I'm generally opposed to this bill, but there's a specific technical problem I'd like to call to your attention. My understanding is the legislature would like to keep Planned Parenthood and representatives out of public schools, and that's why we have the language, an employee or representative of an abortion services provider or an affiliate of an abortion services provider may not present or deliver any instruction or program on any topic to students in a public school, or distribute materials to display materials for public or for students at a public school. later on, a provider is defined as an abortion services provider means a person who performs elective abortions. This would seem to indicate that someone would have to represent a person that actually performed abortions for this law to prohibit them from presenting in the classroom. The Planned Parenthood is an entity, not a person. If someone works for Planned Parenthood, they don't work for a person that performs abortions. But if your law does prohibit someone that works for Planned Parenthood from presenting material on any subject in the classroom, then it certainly would also prohibit any person that works at regional hospital in Anchorage from doing so as well. They are a provider of elective abortion services. There's no question about that. So first, on behalf of my members that are school nurses, a surprising number of them work shifts in local hospitals, including regional, for the best of reasons. It keeps their skills very sharp, and it makes them better nurses at school, as well as earning extra money. Are they now prohibited from speaking to a class about any subject? Can they even speak to students that come to them when they're ill? I don't think this is the intent, but this is the language that's in your bill. If I, as a biology teacher, invite a doctor from regional hospital to talk to my class about cancer research or comparative anatomy, am I at risk for losing my certificate if this bill becomes law? As I read it, I am, or I could be. Again, I don't think that's your intent, but that is how it reads. This often happens when you want to do something, but you can't say exactly what it is you're trying to do, so you have to talk in more general terms. The more general terms are very problematic. Please leave this to your local boards, or please say exactly what you mean to do. But in this moment, when the economic future of our state is on the line, please do not pass a bill that invites a lawsuit the state would have to defend with the careers of good Alaskans in the balance when we have much more pressing issues. We're not recruiting students to have elective abortions in our classroom. We're just not. We are trying to prevent unwanted pregnancies and the spread of disease, period. We're trying to be sure that students understand the real dangers and consequences of certain types of relationships and actions by themselves and by others in the hope of making this a safer, more humane place for everyone to grow and learn. Please help us. Please be clear. Please be accurate. Please work with us rather than putting a speed bump and a trap out in front of us. I'm asking you to please clarify this bill or otherwise not to pass it from your committee until the specific issue is fixed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Andy, and that is certainly our intent to clarify the bill, and we will be considering the changes that were made on the Senate side that have made some adjustments to some of the issues you raised. Judy Andry in the room, would you please come?
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to testify. I'm a little bit torn right now because I had planned to speak for the League of Women Voters, which has already been done for SB 191. You have received in your email a copy of the letter that expresses the League of Women Voters of Alaska, which is an organization statewide with 200 members, and they follow the position of the League of Women Voters of the U.S., which is that the right of privacy in women's health issues should be noted and taken care of. They also agree that health care should include reproductive health care for women and their families and their partners. So we, as the League, would hope that you would take this bill and consider it very carefully and not pass it, of course.
Judy, I mean, now, excuse me for interrupting. I didn't, but I think you didn't give your name,
and
if you did, I missed it, so if you would.
So I just finished speaking. My name is Judy Andry, and I just finished speaking for the League of Women Voters because now I would like to speak for myself as a parent of five adopted children who have graduated from the Juno Douglas High School over a period of years. And I feel like this bill, in a way, attacks the teaching profession. When we use language like captive audience, they're not captive because they have the students and their parents have the right to opt out of any sex education class that is offered. I polled my children. I wondered, well, what does the the thing about the abortion provider, and obviously that refers to Planned Parenthood in this case. So I polled them. They all still live in Alaska in the area, and they were a little bit surprised that I would even ask that because they hadn't heard about that before. They've all gone through the health classes. They did not learn about abortion, and no one was trolling for their clientele. I have a great deal of faith in Planned Parenthood, and I feel that I have the right as a parent to ask that sex education classes be taught by someone with science-based information, good medical-based information, and their purpose is, never forget, their purpose is to prevent unintended pregnancies. And if they fund abortions with private funding, it is legal for women to have, when they discussed it with their health care provider, a safe pregnancy termination. So Planned Parenthood is not trolling for those folks. They are actually trying to prevent a woman and her family and her health care provider from having to deal with that very painful issue. So I hope that, as a parent, you will take seriously the fact that all parents have rights, and this bill is presented as a parents' rights bill, but many parents have the same right to have good, medically sound, scientific information taught, not just in sex ed, but in every class that their student teaches. So thank you for considering my comments as a private citizen, as a parent, and I urge you not to pass this bill on in its present form. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy. Christine Nemi in the room also. And again, you got the idea. Thanks. Go ahead.
Yes. My name is Christine Nini, and I'm speaking for myself today. Okay. My comments on House Bill 352. We dissolved the state-operated school system approximately in 1976 to provide for local control of our schools. It should be up to the local staff and parents to decide what parents, what programs, curriculum, and persons that they invite into the schools, into their local schools. Planned Parenthood provides STD testing, health education, rape counseling, cancer screening, and family planning. Many parents do not object to Planned Parenthood. The attempt at the level of control in House Bill 352 and other bills similar to this is alarming. We need to work together with willing agencies to give our kids the tools to make healthy choices, especially in this time of budget problems. I think we need to work together. And I think most of us, while the goal is we would all like to see no abortions, certainly fewer abortions, we just don't seem to be able to get to that point. We can't decide what to do to get to that point. And I would really like it if we would all work together better.
Thank you, Christine. Jean Andreen, also in the room. Identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Representative Keller. My name is Jane Andreen, and I am the president of the Alaska Public Health Association, and I'm also chair of the statewide steering committee for the Alaska Women's Lobby. I did testify on Senate Bill 191. I was providing daycare that day, so I had a little baby on my lap, and I didn't have a chance to really prepare, so I'm going to say a few things today. First of all, I think it's really important that we go back, if we can, and sometimes I have to stretch my brain, but to remember what it was like as a teenager. I do remember that much of my decision making was based on hormones and peer pressure, the peer culture of what was happening. That's why it is so important that our teens, our children, get information about safe sex, about preventing sexually transmitted diseases, as well as avoiding unintended pregnancies, which is exactly what Planned Parenthood does. One of the things that I most appreciate about them is they are using the best of the best information that we have, evidence-based information that is geared toward giving students the information that they need in a way that helps them make the types of decisions that they need to make for a long-term healthy lifestyle. So on behalf of both of my organizations, I'd like to say that we oppose the passage of this bill.
Okay. Thank you so much, Jane. Allison Curry in the room.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, all. My name is Allison Curry. I'm a resident of Juneau, and I represent Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Hawaii. I have testified before this committee before, and I testified on Senate Bill 89 as well as 191, so I'll try to keep my comments or make comments that I have not made previously. To start, Planned Parenthood has been a trusted expert and provider of medically accurate sexual health education in Alaska for more than 20 years, and we are currently filling a gap filling in a much-needed gap left by the state's inaction. Currently, Alaska does not have any state standards on sexual health education, and the negative implications are evident by our epidemic of sexually transmitted infections, particularly among teens ages 15 to 19, and our teen pregnancy rates are higher than the national average. In the school year 2013 to 2014, less than a quarter of Alaska schools were providing the nationally recommended curriculum topics recommended by the Centers for Disease Control for STD and pregnancy prevention. So clearly, what we're doing right now is not cutting it to educate our youth. And our youth need access to medically accurate information to make healthy decisions about their lives. When invited, Planned Parenthood does work closely with some schools, other social service organizations, and public health nurses in communities across the state. We provide direct education to over 2,000 youth each year at zero cost to schools, and have also provided training and skill building for teachers and school-based nurses working with youth around healthy sexuality. Again, our curriculum has been vetted and approved by the National Office of Adolescent Health for medical accuracy and reviewed by local school staff for curriculum alignment, as well as age and cultural appropriateness to fit the needs of each community. Our education programs aim to complement conversations that are happening at home with the families. They do not replace them. And I would like to be clear that parents do have the opportunity to review our curriculum before a Planned Parenthood educator enters the classroom. Teachers have these lesson plans and notify the parents what they're teaching in the classroom, and if a parent is concerned, they may sit down with the teacher to review the curriculum. It is very disappointing that this body would entertain passing a legally questionable law that threatens the livelihood of teachers and healthcare providers who are working to keep our youth healthy and safe. House Bill 352 does absolutely nothing to improve the health and safety of our Alaskan youth, and I ask that you please oppose this bill and work to increase access to comprehensive sexual health education in the state and our schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Or Allison, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Lisa, in the room? You notice I didn't try your last name, so if you would introduce your name, yourself, for the record.
Hi. Excuse me. Hi, I'm Lisa Egan Lagerquist, and I did testify in opposition to the parallel bills 89 and 191. And I'm here to testify in opposition to House Bill 352. I'm going to try to not repeat what I said, so here goes. First of all, after I testified, it was about 2 weeks ago, and I cannot tell you how many people have come up to me, random people as they're driving by me, everywhere I've gone, said, oh my gosh, you're the person who testified, aren't you? And I sort of look at them, because you don't know, you know, are they for or against? And they say, you said exactly what I wanted to say. We were cheering you. I heard you. I didn't know this many people listen to what's going on. But over and over, I've heard, you said exactly what I was feeling. Thank you so much for going there. I agree. And what I said is, this bill is crazy. This is crazy. We're cutting. There's we all know this is a year of cuts. There's no money. We have something going on in our educational system that's awesome. Parents love it. Students love it. And there's legislators saying, let's ban this. Let's ban this free service to schools that tons of people like. So to say something new, also after that, I thought the testimony was so much opposition, and the bills move forward. What else can I do? So I started a petition, just me, just saying to people, there's this bill, do you oppose it? 121 signatures I have here to leave with you of people who agree. Please oppose this. The people of Juneau want Planned Parenthood to be able to be in our schools. There's students on here, there's teachers on here, there's parents on here, there's grandparents on here, there's healthcare providers on here. We have a right to be able to invite Planned Parenthood, who does age-appropriate, medically accurate education in our schools. The other thing I've heard a lot is we're not opposed to sex education. The person who sponsored this bill sat here and said this bill isn't opposed to sex education. And the thing is, right now, there's not someone else to provide sex education. I've heard people say, oh, let the teachers do it. Teachers have so much on their plate. They are not experts in sex education. They aren't taking hours of training. And also, students often don't want to talk about these personal things with their teachers. So it's actually very beneficial to have someone outside the school come in and help facilitate these really important conversations. I've heard have nurses. They don't have time to do it. So then you want a random parent to come in and teach sex education? To me, I would like a known curriculum that people trust. In my other statement, I said students are going to have sex. And what I really wish I said is a lot of students are going to wait. And they're going to wait till after high school. But just like my parents' generation, my grandparents' generation, my great-grandparents' generation, and this generation, high school students, some of them are going to have sex. That's, we can all agree on that. Let's make sure it's safe. So again, please oppose this. Oh, the last thing I wanted to do is read some people I couldn't get in person, so I said send me an email if you want to oppose this, and this is, as a nurse, I have cared for many teenagers with unintended pregnancies, most of whom are ill-equipped to parent a child. The cost to society is high and gets passed on generation after generation. Most of the teens had painfully little knowledge of their bodies and how to prevent pregnancy or even how to say no. The cost of education is low. The cost of having Planned Parenthood in schools is free. That's my add in that part. The education includes how to say no. I have heard what is covered, and I wish all young people could have the opportunity of hearing this information. Thank you. Please oppose this bill.
Just one question. Did you want to include the name of the person?
Of this email?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It's Debbie Ballin, RN.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Just a question.
Question?
Will the speaker be able to provide a copy of her testimony?
Oh, good question.
If she could.
If you would give it to the recorder. And,
okay, I have what I've said is very rough notes. Can I tape it up and then email it in? And I would like to provide all these names.
Okay, great. Thank you. Aurora, is it Hufferly from Dillingham, I believe? Are you online?
Mr. Chair, brief at ease.
Brief at ease?
Yeah, just at ease.
Aurora, stand by for just a minute, please. Drummond, whether the people in the LIOs have been instructed not to testify, and I want to say in the strongest sense, no. I have asked, I'm assuming that the people that have called in have been listening, and I've asked that for no repetition, because we do have the testimony, well documented to the committee, and the testifiers have been very polite that way. There's been nobody that has been asked not to testify. And if you want to testify, again, I will say, just do it. You know, I won't criticize your testimony, but I'm just asking you not to repeat yourself, and thank you. So back to Aurora.
Yes, I'm here.
If you would, identify yourself for the record and go ahead.
Okay. My name is Aurora Hefferly. I am a resident of Dillingham, Alaska, and have been my entire life. I'm currently attending University of Alaska Anchorage to become a secondary public school teacher. There are many things that I learned in high school and many things that I'll be expected to teach one day. The water cycle, the Pythagorean theorem, the difference between mitosis and meiosis. But in those four short years since I've been considered a legal adult, I've not once had a practical reason to use the Pythagorean theorem. But I've had many, many reasons both to use what I learned in my sexual education class and to regret what I did not learn. This is not just information that you can hand out academically. This isn't just information that affects students and their careers and their education. This is things that affect their health and the health of people around them. Planned Parenthood is a qualified sexual education provider, the largest nonprofit sexual education provider in the state of Alaska. And without Planned Parenthood, many school districts would have to find other more expensive alternatives for sexual education, including trying, I guess, to train the teachers that are already there. I mean, with all of the money that the school boards have to throw around, you know, that stuff. Less than a quarter of Alaskan secondary school districts taught the recommended HIV, STD, and pregnancy prevention topics in 2013 and 2014. If less than a quarter of Alaska's secondary schools taught the recommended topics for, I don't know, algebra, would lawmakers be considering a bill to place additional burdens on teachers and school districts in that area, despite how, you know, useless the Pythagorean theorem really is in everyday life for most people, and despite how useful sexual education is for pretty much everybody? As a student aspiring to be a teacher, it occurs to me to ask why legislatures are seeking to take away the ability of communities and schools to decide what type of sexual education should be taught to their students. It also occurs to me to scrutinize the criteria by which this bill seeks to determine who can and cannot provide sexual health education. Abortion? Are there truly no other factors by which we can decide who should be providing information to our students? Not accuracy, not reputation, not effectiveness? What possible reason is there to bar students from receiving this life-saving information? The only way in which this bill can possibly be construed as having a positive outcome is if the outcome one seeks is to further stigmatize and demonize both the patients who seek abortions and those who provide services to those patients. That is not an outcome I seek. I stand with Planned Parenthood, and I stand with those who seek access to reproductive health care. But that is a battle to be fought in another time in another arena. Our public schools are not the place for this type of politics, and our students should not have to suffer because of it. Thank you very much for hearing me out.
Thank you, Aurora. Robin Smith? Anchorage, Ohio.
Hello, my name is Robin Smith. I live here in Anchorage, and I appreciate the opportunity to testify. Parents find dealing with their teen sexuality difficult. You know, we don't want them hurt or find themselves in difficult situations, having an unintended pregnancy. Girl or boy, STIs, including HIV, can be life-changing. But many parents simply ignore it or barely touch the surface. That is why over the past 20 years, in survey after survey at local, state, or national level, 80 to 85% of parents indicate they want their children to receive comprehensive, medically accurate, age-appropriate sex education. Parents see such courses and content as supplementing, not supplanting, their discussions at home. They say that their children need both to be taught about delaying the onset of intimate sexual relationships until they are mature and responsible, and also given the information and skills they need to use condoms and contraception when they do choose to become sexually active. It's not either or, but both. Studies consistently show that comprehensive sex education is highly effective in reducing STIs, delaying initiation of sexual activity, and lowering teen pregnancy rates. But the state of Alaska has failed to do its job by not providing comprehensive evidence-based sex ed. We have no state standard curriculum, no requirement for even providing it, and now no money to offer it even if we wanted to. Teens, on the other hand, report that their main source of information about sex, dating, and sexuality comes from what they see and they hear in the media. That includes TVs, movies, music videos, reality shows, beer ads, online porn, and video games. Social media is another problem. You know, we're in a different age. Girls are pressured to send naked selfies to boys. We're appalled to hear that oral sex has become the new kissing. We pray that it isn't true in Alaska. We simply want to lock up our kids until they're adults. But we can't and we mustn't be blind to what is actually happening. These are some of the national facts. 72% of kids think watching TV with a lot of sexual content influences their peers' behavior somewhat or a lot. Programs with sexual content average 4.4 scenes per hour. On average, music videos contain 93 sexual situations per hour, including 11 hardcore scenes depicting behavior like intercourse and oral sex. Between 1998 and 2005, the number of sexual scenes on TV nearly doubled. One in five children will be approached by a sexual predator online. 15 to 24-year-olds account for nearly half of all STI diagnosed each year. Watching a lot of sexual content on TV and listening to sexually explicit music lyrics increases the chance that a teen will have sex at an early age. 60% of female video game characters are presented in a sexualized fashion. And finally, the biggest users of online pornography are 12 to 17-year-old boys. If you're actually listening to this, it's shocking. At least it's shocking to me. I would think you would find it shocking for you. Oftentimes kids report that having somebody from the outside talk about about sexuality is actually easier because they can ask questions and be able to go back into the classroom the next day and not be confronted by the teacher that they ask a question of. And PE teachers aren't necessarily equipped to be able to handle some of the questions that the kids even ask. Planned Parenthood has been a trusted provider of sexual health education in Alaska for more than 20 years and throughout the country for 100 years. We basically started out as a sex education provider. Communities turn to us for non-judgmental, medically accurate curriculum on reproductive health and relationships. We should not deny our teens important sexual education simply because some legislators do not approve of legal abortions or those who provide it. Please oppose this bill. Do not move it forward. It's not good for our kids, and it will be challenged in the court, which is a waste of money because the ACLU will win. So thank you so much for hearing my testimony today.
Thank you, Robin. Kathy Clornan.
Good morning to all the committee members. My name is Kathy Cronin, and I want to thank you all for the opportunity to testify today. I have serious concerns about House Bill 352, as I believe the bill would limit access to important information that can directly impact the health and long-term livelihood of our Alaskan youth. I have many years of experience working with the youth of Alaska. I was the chief executive officer of North Star Behavioral Health System for 20 years, retiring in 2005, and joining the faculty of Alaska Pacific University, where I taught healthcare policy, economics, finance, and administration, both at the undergraduate and graduate level. As a healthcare leader and an educator, I know it is imperative that we not restrict important information that is vital to good, healthy decision-making. In addition to being an administrator and an educator, I'm also a mom. I've raised three adult daughters. As a parent, I believe that sexual education should start at home.
But as a professional, I know this does not always happen. As a healthcare administrator, I have seen the long-term personal and financial costs to youth and their family as a result of poor decision-making. Poor decision-making regarding drugs, regarding alcohol, and regarding poor sexual activity. Planned Parenthood has provided sexual education in the schools in Alaska for over 20 years at no cost. They are a capable provider. I would ask the committee, what problems have you seen in the last 20 years with Planned Parenthood providing this service in the schools? As an administrator, if I look to make a change, I make a change because there's been an issue. What issues have you seen to date by Planned Parenthood providing this service in the schools? If your plan is to deny Planned Parenthood access to providing education to the youth of Alaska, who is going to provide this service and what will it cost? Before making a change, I hope you think those things through. I urge that you not pass House Bill 352, and I thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you, Kathy. Jessica Clare, again in the Anchorage LIO.
Hello. Representative Keller and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Jessica Clare, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I am a lifelong Alaskan, raised in Wasilla, graduate of Colony High School in UAA, and current resident of Anchorage. I'm here today to speak in opposition to House Bill 352 and urge you to focus on the real issues facing Alaskans. As a graduate of our public school system, I know firsthand the lack of access to comprehensive, medically accurate sexual health education in our state. Alaska has no state standards for sexual health education, and yet an epidemic of sexually transmitted infections, the highest rate of reported rape in the country, and child sexual assault rate 6 times the national average. I know that myself and my peers would have greatly benefited from the kind of education that Planned Parenthood provides on prevention, on consent, and on healthy relationships. Studies consistently show that comprehensive sex education is highly effective at reducing STIs, delaying initiation of sexual activity, and lowering teen pregnancy rates. Planned Parenthood fills an important gap left by the state's inaction on ensuring students have access to the information they need. In a time when our education system is facing unprecedented budget cuts, we should be encouraging districts to use every resource available to educate its students, not limiting districts' options for local programming. Parents are already notified and already have the option to opt their students out. This bill strips the rights of parents and local school districts to make the decisions that are right for our youth. It goes a step further, unfairly penalizing teachers, school districts, and doctors. This is a politically motivated and legally questionable attempt to target Planned Parenthood at the expense of the health of Alaska students. Instead of creating more barriers to education, we should be working together to ensure that our youth have the resources and information needed to lead healthy and productive lives. House Bill 352 does the opposite. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessica. We're going to go to Kinney. Is it Senek? Linden?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
For the record, my name is Kenny Senek Linden, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself today. I live and own my home in Palmer, where I was born and raised. I'm here to encourage the committee to oppose House Bill 352. As an international baccalaureate student at Palmer High School, I had the great opportunity to sit on the Mat-Su School District School Board and served as the first student on the Mat-Su School District Curriculum Council. After college, I briefly taught as a substitute teacher around the district and had the pleasure to see the transformative work taking place in our schools every day. House Bill 352 creates harmful and unnecessary boundaries to accessing essential, comprehensive, and scientifically accurate reproductive health education. Curriculum standards already prevent abortion from being addressed within the classroom, which means that House Bill 352 is misguided, likely unconstitutional, and it actively undermines the purview of teachers and local educators to have local control and teach to the needs of their students. These needs include information on healthy relationships and consent. I wish that my health education in the Mat-Su Valley
and the health education of my assailant had included these key lessons, which may have prevented the trauma I experienced after being sexually assaulted at 15 years old. I'm lucky that I came away from that experience with PTSD and not STIs or pregnancy. I appreciate that Planned Parenthood, as an organization, has stepped in to fill the gap and provide life-saving, evidence-based education. Parents have the opportunity to opt out of any education that does not align with their values. Please do not create additional barriers for families that do want qualified and experienced educators in the classroom. As a future parent myself, my husband and I have discussed the need and our overwhelming desire that our children will receive better sex education than we did, both at home and in their classrooms. Please oppose House Bill 352. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny. And just again, we have your other testimony also on record for SB 191. There's been several like that. And again, we welcome your testimony. We just ask you not to repeat. We're going to go to the Homer LI, but first, before we do, there's a housekeeping. Representative Sponholz.
Yeah, you've referenced that we have people's testimony on file, and to my knowledge, I only have a list of who has testified, not what it is that they actually said. Is there a transcript of the testimony from SB 191 that I'm not aware of?
Representative Sponholz, I operated on the assumption that you could go to basis, but that's where it came from, and all the testimony is there. It's been put in text, and I have some of it, but there's even more than this. But if you would like a copy, I'd be more than happy to provide it for you. Okay, we're going to go back to that Homer LIO, Anna Meredith.
Good morning, committee. My name is Anna Meredith. I am the Youth Health Education and Program Manager at the Rec Room of Ketchikan Bay Family Planning Clinic in Homer, and I have testified on behalf of Bill 89. This is my first time with 191 or House Bill 352. Last time I spoke about the opt-out approach that our district has and many districts around the state have, and it's a working program. But today I'd like to talk a bit more about my experience working with teachers in the schools, which is the primary thing that we do with our peer education team. I work with professionally trained peer educators, and we co-facilitate comprehensive Safer Sex and Abstinence in over 6 schools on the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. Again, representing Ketchikan Bay Family Planning Clinic, which provides reproductive services and education and outreach on the southern Kenai Peninsula. We are very similar to our colleagues in Planned Parenthood in Anchorage and Juneau, who provide this similar education in the schools. One difference is that our clinic does not provide abortion services, which is a legal service in Alaska. But we are similar in many ways, and the number one way is that we are the experts in our community on sexual and reproductive health. And I know from doing this for 5 years that staying abreast of the changes in the reproductive health field in statewide, national, and international best practices, research results, epidemiology reports, and public health statistics is an outrageous expectation to put on math, language arts, social studies, and music teachers, which the burden falls on of teaching sexual health. And those are actually the 4 positions represented just in the past month of whose classes we've gone into. A music teacher at a small rural school just this Monday, who we were in her class with 12 of her students, said, and I quote her, "I'm so glad that your peer ed team is here. These kids do not want to hear this from someone that they see every day." We constantly hear that from teachers. This is, they're not equipped and trained to teach sexual health, and therefore they're very thankful that we are able to come in as the experts in the community, and that burden is lifted from them, although they stay in the classroom the entire time. And I appreciate that they listen and they have a very close working relationship with us, so they are learning as we are teaching as well, and they reach out to us, and a lot of the school staff reach out to us even more because of our collaboration. And there was actually one young man who was 14 years old who, when we were asking students on Monday to name some reproductive organs that they're aware of, and he was talking about mammary glands, and we were very impressed. And he said, well, that's actually after reproduction. That's for the baby's purpose. But we talked to him after, and he was educated by Planned Parenthood in Anchorage as a fifth grader and all the way up till seventh grade, and he had recently moved to this community. So please oppose House Bill 352 because experts should be allowed in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Catriona, is it? Reynolds?
Yes, hello. I'm Catriona Reynolds. I'm the clinic manager at the Catch My Bay Family Planning Clinic. And thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak about House Bill 352. I have previously testified against SB 191 and SB 89. Abortion is legal and safe, and this bill is seeking to impose ideologically and politically motivated constrictions on our ability to provide the best education for our children, and you've heard a lot about that. So I just wanted to talk a little more about facts and numbers. If you look at markers for teen sexual health, such as the rate of chlamydia and teen pregnancy, Alaska is higher than the national rate. And if you look on the Southern Kenai Peninsula, where we have been effectively teaching in the schools for over a decade, we actually have way lower rates of both of those markers. I attribute that to the fact that the students learn how to take good care of their health and then avail themselves of the services across the community here. We have close connections with Homa Public Health, Homa Medical Center, Seldovia Village Tribe Health and Wellness Center, Kachemak Bay Medical Center, and the hospital. And as a collaborative team down in Homa through the MAP program, we all are able to help those teens access the service they need once they've learned how to take better care of their health because of the classes in the schools. And I can speak to that personally because I have a 2015 graduate and a current freshman at a high school, and I know that learning in that setting from experts is part of how they have the skills they need to be healthy adults. And thank you for your time. I just want to urge you strongly to reject House Bill 352. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to go to Butch Moore. We're going off net now. Butch?
Thank you, House Education Committee. My name is Butch Moore. I am Bree Moore's father, and I would like to speak to House Bill 352. One of the concerns that I have about House Bill 352, and I'll talk about something different that some of the other people who have commented have not talked about. It is very similar to Senate Bill 191, and there is a legal opinion that it's unconstitutional, and it's singling out a single group. What I'm concerned about, and I've seen this with different municipalities and Matt Subaru, and I know the sponsor, Lynn Gaddis, and I know she's a NRA supporter. And what my concern is, if we open this door to where we single out a certain group of people, what happens when the makeup of our legislature changes? And I'm a gun guy. My daughter Bree, who was murdered by her boyfriend with a gun, was proficient in the use of pretty much all firearms. And I don't think that we should take people's rights away to keep and bear arms, and I support our Second Amendment. But what happens if the makeup of our legislature changes and someone proposes that we not let anyone that works for a gun store teach in schools any subject? What if somebody who works at Fred Meyer, a store that sells guns, they can't come in and teach CPR? They can't come after school and be a coach because they work at Fred Meyer because they sell guns? So I think I'm focusing more on what is the key issue here, and I think one of the issues, and I'm probably more pro-life, I think if we had a bill in front of us that said no one can come into the schools and teach about abortion, I think that would be supported. And I think we should probably have that. I think when we go down this rabbit hole and we take a specific group of people, that it opens the door for, I mean, this could be a mess. And the ACLU has already spoken to Senate Bill 191 and said there will be a lawsuit filed. I'm kind of trying to figure out why we're spending time on this particular bill and similar bills when we have a budgetary issue that is should be in the forefront of everything that we're thinking of and talking about. And I don't know that this is in the best interest of Alaska and our children. And I guess you know me from speaking on many other bills and being an advocate for children's rights and educating our children. I had spoken with Planned Parenthood months ago, and I also spoke with the state of Alaska Department of Education. It is up to every individual school district in Alaska what their curricula is and can be. There is not one school district in Alaska that includes education or discussion on abortion. And Planned Parenthood does not have any curricula that includes education on abortion. So, in addition, since we've had the Alaska Safe Children's Act come into law, Planned Parenthood is teaching Aaron's Law and teaching Bree's Law on safe dating and dating violence and safe touch. And a lot of those additional items that Planned Parenthood covers are essential to our children to educate them. So I think that the intention of the bill is to single out Planned Parenthood, and I think by doing that, we open the door for potential other groups to be singled out. And it's concerning to me because we do have a lot of education that's provided by Planned Parenthood. All three of my daughters were educated by Planned Parenthood, and unfortunately I'm not able to ask one of them, but the other two that I spoke with had said that they had never had abortion brought up by Planned Parenthood at all. And the other thing that they said that was very important is that they felt very safe with having professionals come in and speak to them that they could talk to and have a conversation with and then left the school. And they could talk with them, whereas if it were their science teacher or their gym teacher or their social studies teacher, they would feel very uncomfortable having a conversation about health and sex ed with that teacher who then they would be staying after school for extra credit with would potentially be a very uncomfortable situation. So the one thing about Planned Parenthood, as far as the fiscal note goes, there is no cost with Planned Parenthood. And they do educate on pregnancy prevention, which significantly cuts down on the number of abortions. So I'd like to just leave the committee with this thought, is that if we open this door and we say we're going to single out an individual group of people, what does that leave it open for in the future? And I think it's against the Constitution of the state of Alaska. And I see it could open the door for a lot of other things. So I don't know if anybody has any questions for me, but I thank you for hearing me. And I guess I would like to see an amendment that would change this bill that says that no one is allowed to teach abortion in our schools.
Butch, thank you for taking time to call in. You have extensive testimony on this, but I just wanted to clarify something. You know, sometimes we don't do things very efficiently down here, and this is one example of it. We intended to be, I was under the impression, let's put it that way, that we were going to be looking at the amended version of SB 191, and it addresses some of your concerns. It turns out, I think there's a consensus that your concern about banning people that work for an abortion provider being banned from all teaching, and that, I think, has been changed now. It's, I think, the just in very general terms, and I'm pointing this out now because I want to save some time down the road, too, but I think now it is those that act are acting on behalf of the service provider, so it narrowed it down pretty good. So your point is well taken and has been addressed, and from my perspective as chair, we'll make sure it gets addressed in this bill before we proceed. With that, we're going to go to Lance Roberts.
Howdy.
If you would, give us your testimony.
This is Lance Roberts in Fairbanks. I'm speaking for myself and want to thank you for having public testimony on this issue. I consider this to be one of the most important issues in front of you because the one thing that us as elected officials, which I am here locally and you are there representing us, what's important is justice because that's what government does. And so for abortion providers whose sole business is to kill babies, one of the most unjust acts in the history of mankind that brought to us a genocide that rivals every genocide that's ever happened and surpasses most all of them, is incredible that we would allow those people into our schools. Just recently, one of those organizations, who's very active in Alaska, was caught selling those baby parts after they killed those babies to make money. This is an organization that doesn't have character. So these types of organizations that are founded on the precept that babies should be killed are not the type of organizations that we need to have educating our children. There's two kinds of marketing that goes on when you have that happen. One is you just have the marketing of promiscuousness. I know I mispronounced that, but we have that marketing of these loose morals that encourages unsafe behavior. It encourages them to have sex before marriage, so it's not a safe place. That's where you get the STDs and the pregnancies from. And instead of teaching abstinence that stops that, they're teaching just the opposite and trying to encourage that activity. But the second thing, then, which creates a market for them, because the second thing is they're marketing abortion. Whether they're handing out materials, they're putting their name out there, they're getting contact information people can get a hold of them, and they are working on abortion marketing. That's what they do. That's their business. We don't need them doing that business in our schools using my tax dollars to subsidize groups like that, because that money is fungible, and they can use that money to then go kill other babies, whether we're directly paying them or they're just getting a benefit from us. They shouldn't be using the funds that come out of my pocket to go into the school system, which might be a lot more based on what you guys do with the budget. So I would encourage you, as legislators who have to make decisions based on justice and who, like I, have to answer for every vote to the God that created us, when all is said and done, I encourage you to vote for this, to move it forward, and to protect children from that kind of indoctrination, and to protect babies from the fate that those abortion services providers want to give them. Please stand up and vote this bill forward out of committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Mary J., and you're going to help me with the last name from Saldana?
Yes. I'm Mary J. Tutongi, and I'm a resident of Saldana. I'm pleased with the opportunity to address this committee today and offer my views on HB 352, and SB 191. These bills are questionable at best and appalling at worst. Alaska has the highest rate of STDs in the country. Education has taken a hit this year that would make the angels cry. Our legislators should be focusing on improving students' health and access to accurate information to inform them with regard to their sexuality. Alaska has the worst record of STD and sexual abuse in the country. Young people are impacted by these issues. A poor decision can change the course of their lives. We are impacted financially as a state in our health care and our education as these issues manifest themselves. Less than a quarter of Alaska's secondary schools have taught all of the recommended HIV, STD, and pregnancy prevention topics. Only three states have less access to this information. Students in Alaska are in dire need of real information about sexual health and healthy relationships. Our legislators should be focusing on improving students' health, not destroying their rights to accurate information, as well as threatening teachers, doctors, and other professionals and caretakers. I am most certainly in opposition to these two bills.
Thank you, Mary J. Marcy Hawkins from Sutton.
Am I there?
Yeah, loud and clear. Yes, loud and clear. If you would, identify yourself for the record.
Good. Thank you, sorry. My name is... Hold on. There we go, that's better. My name is Marcy Hawkins, and I'm in Sutton, Alaska. And I did testify on SB 191 and 89. I just wanted to first, if she's still on listening, the young lady in Dillingham, I agree, Pythagoras, who cares? I have just found out that I will be graduating this May with an associate's in early childhood education. I am very, very concerned that if this bill passes, my speaking up or any volunteer acts that I may have with organizations like Planned Parenthood or a hospital that has abortion services provided will harm my ability to use this degree in the school system and would be forced to seek employment outside a school district. I had asked my representative really quick last night because I haven't had time to form a letter as to where the money will be coming from if this bill passes, if other bills similar to this pass for the school districts to pay for new programs, because they will not be free. I would like to know how you're going to do background checks and so forth to ensure that people are not violating this law. I would like to know how we're going to pay for all the legal fees that will probably ensue, because if someone is charged with this and they are fined and so forth, there will be a lawsuit. And I don't think we can afford it at this time. I have five children. Well, I had two of them I had homeschooled, and I took them out not because of sex education, but because of overcrowding and drug use. There are drug dealers in our schools. That is illegal according to our statutes. I think the money spent on this bill, on trying to implement this bill and enforcing it, should be used instead to get the drug dealers and drug use out and education on what happens in that area. I cannot believe that someone came on and said that abortions, you know, have killed more babies and so forth. Obviously, he never read about the Holocaust. I cannot even begin to stress that I wish that this bill would die in this committee and the other ones would die. This is not the time that we need to be doing this. The state needs to use the money better. And if you are fiscally conservative, as I know that you all, you know, want to present, you will not be spending and wasting money, but rather, you know, putting it, what little we have, towards good use in providing quality education, such has been going on for the last 20 years, and making sure that this continues. I've always had the option to remove my children from school, and I have done so. Three of my children have gotten high school diplomas, and the other one has just gotten the GED. So there are, this bill, I can't even begin to go into it, just simply violates, and there are sections in here that concern me as someone who is going to be going out into the educational system, that I may be penalized
and not be able to perform in a profession that I have been dreaming of since now my children are grown and out the door, of doing. And all I can ask is please review all the information, review the money. That's what it boils down to. Where's the money coming from? Can we afford it? And so forth. And if anyone wants me to follow up on my testimony from the other two bills, I would be more than happy to provide. And on a last note, I think it was really inappropriate for Representative Gass to take off with her aides. I would have loved to have questioned these people, too. So with that said, please oppose this bill, and hopefully we can get back on track to using our money for better things. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcy, and congratulations on your pending degree. Joshua Decker, Joshua, ACLU, before you identify yourself for the record, I just want to make a comment, you know, that you have supplied us with legal opinions, if not on 352, you have on 191 and 89, and I know you've been following the process, and I just wanted to make it clear to you that my intent is if and when we proceed on this bill, that we will at least put the what has been done on the Senate side in front of the committee. And you're not, I know you know we're testifying to 352 and not 191, but there is the mix there. So if you would, Joshua, identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Keller. My name is Joshua Decker. I am the Executive Director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Alaska. We had emailed members of the committee written testimony about this bill during the overnight hours. Chair Keller, to speak to your immediate point about the possibility of the committee adopting a CS that is substantially similar to the version that's currently in the Senate, the Senate CS for SB 191. I think, unfortunately, that is not going to cure deep constitutional infirmities with this bill. Simply put, there is no constitutional way for the legislature to do what this bill, and I, in any form, is trying to do, which is simply to single out and discriminate against Alaskans who perform a perfectly legal, perfectly medical, perfectly safe, constitutional procedure, performing abortions. There are deep constitutional problems when the state singles out a group of people for treatment differently, particularly when that is motivated just by a dislike of that group's speech and that group's activities. Those problems implicate also due process and equal protection clauses of the federal and Alaska Constitution. As we also illustrate in our testimony, a copy which you should all have, this bill, in any form, would violate the free speech rights and the rights of free association of Alaskans in the schools. Schools are limited public fora for the purposes of students, and they should have the right to discuss amongst themselves issues that they think are important and salient. One of those is sexual education and healthy sexual relationships and human health. Unfortunately, as we offer in our written testimony, the state has spent probably over $1 million to date defending unconstitutional laws like HB 352. Based on the state's fiscal crisis, as well as just general good fiscal judgment, we would hope that the state does not pass another constitutionally infirm bill like HB 352, particularly because there is no way, as we see it, to make the bill constitutional, and rather than incurring the high risk of a lawsuit and the financial costs that are going to accrue to that, we strongly encourage the committee to not pass this bill. If there are any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Joshua, thank you for your testimony. I just wanted to point out that one of the testifiers made the statement that, and I want you to respond if you would, that ACLU has said that you will bring this to court and that you will win. And knowing a little bit about you, I would assume that you would say, that depends. It depends on what passes, and that depends on the circumstances of any litigation that would go forward. I wanted to give you a chance to respond because that was a pretty bold statement.
Thank you, Chair Keller. What I will say is that this bill poses deep and multiple constitutional problems, it's our strong hope that the state would that this committee and this legislature would not pass a bill that is so profoundly constitutionally infirm.
Right, and that's in the context of the opinion that you've given us, and we thank you for it. Pamela Samash.
Hello, good morning. Can you hear me?
We can, loud and clear. If you would identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Yes, sir. My name is Pamela Samash, and I live in Nenana, Alaska.
I'm sure you've been listening, but, you have testified before, so if you have something to say that's not repetition or new testimony on 352, we sure welcome it.
Thank you, sir. Yes, I do have a new perspective. Okay, so I guess you want me to start. Okay. Good morning, and thank you for hearing our testimony. Sex is not just physical. Sex ed taught in school, especially by an organization that benefits from sex and has been repeatedly caught laughing and joking about baby body parts that they harvest and sell, including babies born alive. Sex taught by organizations like this are dangerous to our community. This has been made evident, as we have seen, by STDs rates soaring in the communities with Planned Parenthood. The reason for that is because they have removed all the spirituality and emotional aspects of sex. These components being ignored is a tragedy because this is the part that creates the natural barriers that limit promiscuous sex. When sex is taught to general teen populations as physical this and physical that, the result is it will increase sexual behaviors. That will increase STDs and even increase rape. They are creating the problems they say they prevent. But they make money from sex, so it makes sense that they would teach this way. STDs and teen pregnancies were basically non-existent years ago before Planned Parenthood ever existed. That's because sex encounters were taught as a huge moral issue, and the spiritual aspects were the most important part and the highest priority. Planned Parenthood's teaching is the complete opposite of that way of thinking. By keeping Planned Parenthood in the schools is only hurting our children sexually, spiritually, and emotionally. And if Planned Parenthood ever comes into my daughter's school or my daughter's school, I will unenroll them. I please ask you to vote yes on HB 352 and SB 191. Thank you.
Thank you, Pamela, for testifying. Whitney Dwigren, Anchorage. Whitney, are you there? Your phone on mute? Okay, we're going to go to, we'll find out if you come back here. Ed Gray, Sitka.
Mr. Chair. This is Ed Gray in Sitka. I'm a parent in the Sitka School District, and I'm representing myself. And I just want to state my support for House Bill 352. I have testified on 89 and 191, and so I just wanted to add something small to that. So, as I said, I was one of 150 families to oppose and remove Planned Parenthood here in Sitka, and one of 3,000 or 4,000 to sign a petition supporting House Bill 352. And when Planned Parenthood came into our schools in September 2013, we took several actions and were able to remove them. But one of the things that happened then was that we actually wrote the policy that's being considered, Senate Bill 89, and originally we wrote it as a school district policy, but we had several Planned Parenthood administrators and school board members that were so it was kind of an opposition between parents and the school administration and school board. And so we wrote that policy, which eventually became SB 89. And but when the school district refused to hear it, allowed to be heard, that's when we moved on with it. Now that bill was modeled after legislation that had been successfully passed in Louisiana and successfully passed in other states and was law. And in speaking with representatives from those states and the people who wrote it, it's never been challenged in court. So Senate Bill 89 was based on legislation that was successfully passed in other states and never challenged in court. And one of the things that I want you to consider is that another thing is that what Planned Parenthood does, in addition, I've already stated a lot of my objection to it, but something that I can demonstrate is that they're creating partnerships with public schools, and so they're actually staffing public schools with a Planned Parenthood staff person and an office 2-3 days a week, and basically offering all their services. So the idea that Planned Parenthood is only here, to educate, it's just pure nonsense. And I'll send you this information and I'll document it, but it's just pure nonsense. Their desire is to partner with school to bring all their services right into our school buildings. And this is the reason that we've gone the lengths we have to try to prevent this. Okay, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to testify. And again, I encourage you to support and pass House Bill 352.
Thank you, Ed. We'll go to Richard Stoffel. Dick, are you online?
I am.
If you would, identify yourself and give us your testimony.
I'm Richard Stoffel in Palmer, Alaska here. And I don't know, it just doesn't feels awful inside thinking that there'd be any opposition to this bill. And even the fact that we even have to try to pass the bill to stop people from coming into the schools and teaching the children how to kill babies, spill innocent blood, and then the sex education that goes on in the school systems even now is just appalling. And I don't know much about the details and all about that kind of stuff, but in principle, that if we don't stop, this horrible thing that we're doing, spilling innocent blood and trying to teach our children to have horrible sex, horrible education about sex. It's just, I'm just sick and appalled inside. Please pass this bill and try to stop this atrocities.
Thank you for your testimony, Richard. Chris Kirka. Identify yourself.
Hi, this is Christopher Kirka, and I hail from Palmer area. I'm actually from the Culver District, and I want to speak in favor of HB 352. I was hearing earlier that people were saying that Planned Parenthood's been in the schools for 20 years, and they need them there really bad because we have the highest STDs in some of the highest STDs in the country. Well, I think there's a little disconnect there. If they're the ones who've been doing a lot of the sex ed for the last 20 years, then clearly they're doing something wrong, and we're doing something wrong by having them in the schools. Planned Parenthood is the nation's biggest abortion industry. They are, when it comes to ethics, this isn't about education, this is about indoctrination. They don't come in the schools to teach sex ed, they come in the schools to promote sex and promiscuity for very young kids. This isn't about teaching kids science, and we talk about, this is not age appropriate. When you show images of a 10-year-old having sex and telling them it's perfectly normal at that age to do that kind of thing, it's not appropriate. And if parents had any idea what Planned Parenthood is really doing in the schools, they'd be appalled. I mean, we use flowery language like, you know, sex ed and age appropriate. It's a lie. It's a lie. What Planned Parenthood is there to do is promote their brand and to get kids hooked on sex so they can go and buy Planned Parenthood services and become essentially a milk cow for Planned Parenthood. It's just wrong. It's wrong. And so I'm speaking in favor of this bill. I urge you to pass it, especially Governor Culver. I expect to see you vote for it as a constituent. If you just go online and check out the curriculum that Planned Parenthood does nationally and not internationally. It's about promotion of promiscuity. It's not about sex ed. And this bill doesn't ban sex ed. Alright? There's lots of vendors, lots of curriculum out there for sex ed. Why do we have to have an abortion service provider do this? This is ridiculous. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for your time, Chris. Appreciate it. That gets us through the list that I have, everybody online that called in to testify. Unless Whitney came back.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm here.
Oh, if you would, give us your name and give us your testimony. And there is another person to call, too. So.
Sure. My name is Whitney Wigren. Sorry, I have sick kids, so I was just attending to her when you guys called me. I'm out of Anchorage. Sorry, this is truly emotional. I can't even believe that there's anybody in opposition to such a thing. I was a product of the Anchorage School District, and my parents, thankfully, took me out of the sex education. Because the way that they promote it is for Planned Parenthood, and they're trying to sell sex. It's terrible. I can talk from experience that, you know, I was lucky, and one of the lucky ones, that I was able to practice abstinence until I got married. And I have a healthy and wonderful relationship, and unfortunately I can't say that for a lot of my friends who, you know, were pumped in, and not just in sex ed in school, but, you know, just this culture of sex around us. Obviously, the legislators can't inhibit all the sex that's going around from everybody else with, you know, just this constant media. However, you guys do have the opportunity right now to pass this bill. And like Mr. Kirk has said, it's not preventing sex education, it's just making sure we get Planned Parenthood out of the schools. There was a, I think the lady from Sutton said that it was a, I think she believed she said something about how the Holocaust has caused more deaths. And I think that she must be misconstrued, because since 1973, 55 million abortions have been performed in America. I mean, if you want to just take those numbers, there was only 11 million in the Holocaust. I mean, this is a modern-day Holocaust. I mean, there's been more murders since with Hitler, Stalin, all combined. And we're talking about mass murder. I don't feel that if this doesn't pass, I have to reconsider putting my kids in school and possibly doing, you know, private school or homeschool, which is just, for me, unfortunate. Like, I would like my kids to experience the same experiences of the public school districts. I was in the Japanese immersion program. I loved every second of it. I was able to, you know, get a great education, but this is a huge aspect. It's not a matter of politics or opinion. It's a matter of life and death, and this is education. And enough is enough. We have to get involved. We have to educate ourselves on the origins of Planned Parenthood. I mean, it will really disgust every single one of you. I don't know if any of you guys really know the founder, but basically this movement started to limit blacks. I mean, it was a genocide, and we're allowing people to continue that kind of genocide.
and perpetrate all this just terrible, you know, education in our schools. So I strongly urge every single one of you to look down and, you know, morally, you know, pass this bill. Protect our kids. Protect kids in the U.S. or in Alaska. Protect my children, too.
Thank you, Whitney. Take care of that child. Thank you. Dale?
Well, dude, you guys take care of my kids as well.
Okay. Dale Judge?
Yes, I'm here.
You would identify yourself for the record and give us your testimony.
Yeah, sure. It's, my name excuse me, is Dale Judge in Anchorage. I'm a retired public school teacher. I've taught in the Bush, Anchorage, Metsu, and Copper River School District, retired. I'm calling in to support this House Bill 352 here. I'm different than some people. I used to be, many years ago, I was pro-abortion. So I've seen both sides of the issue. Over the years of studying and biology, I have a zoology major in college, and I've decided that the pro-life is the right way to be on this particular issue. I've got lots of grandkids who go into an Anchorage school district, and I don't want to see abortion organizations in there promoting, you know, what's going on here. One thing, I'm just a quick idea here, you know. We all need to look at ourselves. What if our mom had aborted us? We all wouldn't be sitting in that committee. I wouldn't be testifying. So we know what the culture of death is. None of you would be even sitting in and making the decision what to do about what's going on here. So Planned Parenthood, I mean, that's generally what we're talking about, other organizations. It's an organization on its way out. I believe there's already 12 states have defunded Planned Parenthood. Public financing, women's health care, and I'm all for that. You know, the things going on with that. There's other clinics and types of things that can do that. So I guess the issue here is what's Planned Parenthood saying in school? And I support a lot of what the people said. The statistics are, I don't want to quote any statistics and things like that, but the position here that I have is that we don't need Planned Parenthood. Now, I want to say that I haven't been in on personally seeing things. This wasn't going on when I retired from teaching. I'm all for sex education, a proper perspective on the value of sex and pleasure and so on and so forth. But they're promoting just by, you know, graphic cartoons and movies and illicit sex, and, you know, promotion of things that I don't believe should be promoted at schools. So I'm all for the sex education, but not having groups like Planned Parenthood, you know, we just focus on them, but other groups that may come into our schools and try to promote their agenda. I know Planned Parenthood is one of the largest abortion providers in the country, and I value life too much to have somebody come in and being promoted in our kids. I've got kids in charter schools and regular schools in Anchorage, or grandkids, I should say. So please vote for this bill. Get it out in the legislature and let's vote on it and have groups like Planned Parenthood not come into our schools. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dale. We've had two more call in. Haley Kirk.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. If you would identify yourself and who you represent and give us your testimony.
Okay, my name is Haley Kirka, and I am from Palmer and representing myself. I am a constituent of committee member Representative Jim Culver and calling in today to testify in support of HB 352. I just wanted to say quickly, I recently have been looking into the materials that Planned Parenthood and other abortion services providers use as their sex education programs, and I have been appalled at the things that they self-describe as age-appropriate and medically accurate. We're talking about an organization and a curriculum that uses pictures of, or cartoon drawings of 10-year-olds having sex, and things like Planned Parenthood curriculum actually tells, instructs young people that they don't have to disclose to their sexual partner whether or not they have an STD. It's incredible the things that they are bringing into the schools, and I am absolutely in support of HB 352. I think that it is incumbent upon the legislature to seriously look at this issue and decide to protect Alaska's children from the marketing and the pornography that is being brought into the schools through organizations like Planned Parenthood and other abortion service providers. Thank you.
Thank you, Haley. Carol Hart?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Identify yourself.
Okay, I'm Carol Hart, and I'm representing myself. And I heard what Haley said, and I completely concur. I strongly support this bill, especially because I've seen some of the pornographic material that Planned Parenthood markets, and it's completely inappropriate for my children. We have five here in Anchorage, three others that are older that have gone through the school system, the public school system, and I strongly feel that it's just not appropriate at all. And that's it, short and sweet.
Thank you, Carol. We the committee is appreciating short and sweet, I think, right now. I don't think we have anybody else online, and what I'm gonna do here in a moment is close public testimony. That does not mean we can't open it again. But I do want to call Allison up from Planned Parenthood. I have a question for her, and she may want to respond to some of the testimony. I don't know, but she testified previously. You would identify yourself for the record, and I'll ask you the question.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Allison Curry, and I represent Planned Parenthood Votes Northwest in Hawaii.
And Hawaii. Yeah. The question I have is, how many abortions a year does Planned Parenthood, PPF, do? I mean, it's easy information to find. I went online and looked, and I found a number, and I just don't want to throw it out there without, seeing what you have to say, but I think it's $325,000 a year. I have a follow-up.
Mr. Chair, so this is, you're talking about the national numbers. I haven't looked up the number recently, so I can't speak confidently that that's the accurate number, but I can say percentage-wise that nationally over 90% of our services are preventative care, so birth control, cancer screenings, STD testing and treatment, and less than 10% are abortion care. For Alaska specifically, Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest and Hawaiian Islands, in Alaska, we have four health centers. We see about 8,000 patients, and over 22,500 of our services that we provided to those patients were preventative care, so that I named already. So again, that's a 90-10 split between preventative services and abortion care. So I don't have the exact number, and I wouldn't want to just throw a number out there.
No, I thank you. We're not going to move the bill today or vote on it. But I would like to get the numbers.
If I can find the number,
both for Alaska and nationally. And I also would like a breakdown. You say 90-95% is preventative. I'd like to know if there's overlap there, if some of that preventative services are also the ones where there's an abortion eventually provided. And also, just on the same lines, if you could, I read, and again, I'm asking for confirmation. I'm not asking you to do it off the cuff if you give it to us, that one-third of the revenue for Planned Parenthood comes from providing abortions. I also read, easily found online, that about $500 million of government money is about less than half of your revenue. But just kind of confirmed both the total revenue of Planned Parenthood and the what percentage of that is government. If you want to respond to those, that's fine. But sure. That's the questions I have. Let her respond first, okay?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, before we move on to another question, I will see what information I can pull together and follow up with your office. Would you like me to just respond to you or send it to the entire committee?
We will certainly get it to the whole committee. If you just give it to my staff, that'd be great.
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. Representative Sponholz.
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Curry, sorry. Are you teaching 10-year-olds to have children, to have sex?
Through the chair, Rep. Swanholtz, no.
Through the chair, is Planned Parenthood teaching that it's acceptable to have to not disclose if you have a sexually transmitted infection to a sexual partner?
Through the chair, Representative Swanholtz, no.
Thank you.
And again, it'd be great if we could get some, what I'm asking for even, but documentation on the curriculum. In other words, if you have examples.
I can tell you, yes, through the chair. The topics that we cover, and I'm referencing mostly high school curriculum, in the state of Alaska, Planned Parenthood primarily provides education to high school classes when we're invited by a school. I believe there's some curriculum for middle school students, and there's puberty education for fifth and sixth grade. So that's the middle school, but that's my understanding is puberty education alone for that age group. So for the high school age students, we offer anatomy, reproductive anatomy, education, abstinence and birth control, healthy relationships and consent, which healthy relationships and consent is probably the most popular curriculum and the most requested of us. We also have STD prevention curriculum and HIV and AIDS prevention. We also have lesson plans on media literacy. I know some of our educators have come in to present on bullying, so preventing bullying, also drug and alcohol awareness, and suicide prevention. So there's a wide range. And again, I would like to make clear that all of our curriculum has been vetted for medical accuracy based on national standards through the Office of Adolescent Health. Our internal curriculum that Planned Parenthood of the Great Northwest has created comes from credible sources like the Centers for Disease Control, like the Mayo Clinic, National Network on STD Prevention, training centers. So in all of this, I heard in previous testimony that, you know, there's so much other curriculum out there that schools can use, and, you know, there is other curriculum, but there, you know, those sources are also incorporated into that curriculum, and those curriculums are provided at cost. So one example is the Becoming a Responsible Teen curriculum, and that is offered for $350, and that's the curriculum alone. That doesn't include training for teachers, materials, anything else that would need to be purchased by a school or by a teacher.
So. I also read that, PPF is a 501c3 nonprofit, and that there are 700 affiliates, and I would assume that what you're saying then is a that none of these affiliates all follow the and are using the curriculum that you're describing.
The curriculum, through the chair, the curriculum I'm describing is specific for the Great Northwest and Hawaiian Islands. So I cannot speak, I can only really speak for Planned Parenthood here in Alaska and our four-state affiliate rather than nationwide. If I can find out information, if that's what you're truly interested in, mm-hmm. I can try to address that for you. But what I'm speaking about is specifically for Alaska.
Okay, great. Any other questions for Representative Drummond?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This has been very interesting. I appreciate the line of questioning. You mentioned, Ms. Curry, media literacy mm-hmm. is part of the curriculum. Can you? We've had a lot of references today to things that teens see on TV, online, etc. How can you explain what the media literacy part of the curriculum involves?
Through the chair, Rep. Drummond, I would like to reach out to our education team to have a better understanding myself. My basic understanding is just knowing that there are so many different views out in the community. There are different messages being portrayed through different media sources. We have, I know sexting is an issue. There's graphic images on Facebook, other social networking sites. So there's just a lot more media besides just TV and movies and music today. So let me reach out to my education team and see what, if I can get an example lesson plan for that to provide more detail as to what is actually taught. looking at our other lessons that we provide, most are very interactive and discussion-based, so that I would imagine that this particular topic would be the same. It would be a lot of discussion.
Okay. Thank you.
Representative Seed?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I just wanted to say that there were a number of inflammatory statements by, you know, in public testimony, and
Representative Seed, if you could, well, let's finish this. Unless you have a specific question for Planned Parenthood, I'll give you a chance to comment.
I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't that our silence meant anything other than we recognize the public's opportunity. But I didn't want to just ask those questions. But I requested to see the materials, the curriculum. They brought that curriculum in, and I reviewed it. And I believe that's is that available for any committee member to review?
Sure. Through the chair, Rep. Seaton, if an office makes a request to see the curriculum, I am happy to try to accommodate that request and schedule a meeting to sit down and review that curriculum for an office.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chairman? One of the things that was a question mark was someone coming into, going into the school. I mean, your educators only go into schools if they're invited, and I understand. Is that correct?
Correct. Through the chair, Rep. Seaton, Planned Parenthood educators are only going into schools and going into the classroom when they're invited.
And, Mr. Chairman, and so I think I remember there were about 9 different sections of curriculum, and it was stated that only those sections that the school wanted taught were prepared for and taught, and that the teacher remained in the classroom all the time. Is that correct?
Correct. Through the chair, Rep. Seaton, yes, that is correct.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming back up.
No problem. Thank you.
While we were talking, Eric Udick called from Anchorage, and we'll give him a chance, and then we'll close public testimony.
He hung up.
Okay. Okay. With that, then, we'll close public testimony, and we'll bring it before the committee, give you a chance to make comments. The purpose of the comments is to put on the record whatever you feel like you'd like to. Like I say, we're not acting on the bill today. So. Did you have something, Representative Seaton?
Yeah, thank you. And I did state a little bit there that, you know, the silence and not challenging public comments doesn't mean that we agree with them, that that's the public's right to comment. However, there were some statements with which I disagreed. You know, I am concerned that we are essentially talking about just adopting Senate amendments. I mean, the Senate does its job and proposes amendments to its bills, and those amendments might be quite different than what we adopt in the House. That's why there's two bodies. I've never had it so that people that were testifying to our House committee were requested not to offer us their testimony if they had given similar testimony to the Senate. So I would rather have heard the full public testimony on this bill as it was, instead of as an amended bill in the Senate, which we don't know whether we're going to adopt those amendments or not. And so I just wanted to state that, Mr. Chairman.
Representative, your feedback is well taken. I appreciate that, and I would just respond by saying that we all keep track of bills that get tracked on both sides, and we did not, there was no attempt to reduce testimony, and I certainly do not intend that we just take and adopt what the Senate has done. It's a starting point for discussion, and it's a good one, because it's one that we can go in there and look at that CS, and we can look at the testimony that brought it about, and help us make a more intelligent decision in the end. So I was not imposing Senate amendments on this committee. I was just saying that's a starting point that's still ahead of us. So thank you. Any other comments? I'd like to say a couple things. One is just the whole number, if it turns out to be true, of 325,000 abortions a year is an appalling number. That's about the population of Anchorage. I don't think anybody that has testified has said they like abortions. Everybody, I remember, the discomfort that we all feel, you know, talking about this tough issue. Also wanted to address one of the things that came up, and the question that came up, actually, that would we ban a gun manufacturer, for example, from doing a curriculum maybe on gun safety in the school? And, from my perspective, this is just opinion, we certainly may. That's our prerogative. And I would think that we'd be very, very inclined to restrict them if they were acting on behalf of the manufacturer, because that would imply, a business coming in and having a captive audience to push a perspective on gun safety or gun ownership or what gun you should buy. So I think this is completely within the prerogative of the legislature to look at this and to try to make a intelligent decision on it. And I appreciate the fact that the sponsor has brought it forward. With that, we're not going. I'll talk to the sponsor, see where we're at. I'll keep the. I won't surprise the committee with suddenly here it is. If we have a CS, I'll get it to you in plenty of time. And we'll look at it. And like I say, public testimony is closed. I don't intend to open it up except by invitation. So if anybody out there needs to say something that hasn't been said on this issue, they can make the request for testimony if this comes back up. Thank you to the committee, and thank you to people that have taken time to come testify. We're adjourned at 10:09:53.